Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
How about that?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory 8 count, and Foreman is as poised as can be.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
If you get through this dragnet, it's as slippery as a nail in a barrel full of oil.
Pedro Fernandez.
It works for me.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I am your modest host. I'm also an award-winning writer and four-time Golden Glove champion. Straight up, we're talking boxing and MMA for the next 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Straight up, this is your show. If you'd like to impart, you can. Here's the toll-free, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this, you can hit us up on the non-commitment text line. You want to text us here in the studio? No, go on the air. That's cool. 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Well, last night in Las Vegas, Nevada, on ESPN, of course, wow, what can I say? Richard Comey, an explosive knockout winner in the sixth round. You could hear the punch landing. There's no crowds for these fights anymore. So when you hear these thudding punches landing, you really what kind of damage you're really inflicting. But Comey, like a 27, got 27 knockouts, like 30 wins. He's a big puncher, the biggest puncher at 135. They put a young man named Jackson Morenes in with him last night. Morenes had won the WBA lightweight crown. Of course, that was in August of last year with a sterling performance against Raleigh Romero in Las Vegas, and they robbed him. So they robbed him, and then they set him up for the fight last night. They robbed him, took away his title, sent him home with no belt, right? So he comes back last night, has to fight the number one killer, and gets drilled. That's boxing for you. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. One segment with the HBO Godfather Larry Merchant coming up on Sports Byline. James Brown, what does that mean? The Godfather of Soul. That means it's time to bring in the retired HBO Godfather himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. And how are you this morning, sir?
I'm feeling swell. I had a long, good night's sleep.
Well, you know, all kinds of crazy things have happened during live television, live radio, and things like that. When that fan man flew into the arena in Caesar's Palace there on November 6, 1993, the Holyfield Bowl fight, you were ringside for that, weren't you?
Yes, indeed.
Have you ever seen anything like that ever since or before?
Not in any sport. The amazing thing was, our cameraman, caught that guy up in the sky, before any of us knew exactly what was going on, so that his whole descent was captured, as well as the aftermath.
Larry, I think he ended up in Riddick Bowe's corner, and did they put a beating on him or what?
Yeah, they threw some stuff at him and dragged him out of the ring, and I guess he had a sad life, didn't he? Commit suicide?
Yeah, he ended up hanging himself in Alaska at the age of 36 in like 2002. But James Miller was his name, call him Fan Man, but I mean, I was there that night, and he just came cruising right into the arena. I said to myself, oh, my God, I never saw nothing like this in my entire life. Live TV, of course. But also, I mean, that's probably the craziest thing I think I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff at boxing matches, but I don't think I've ever seen anything to top that Fan Man guy.
Probably not.
I mean, he was one of a kind.
I mean, Tyson biting a piece of flesh off of Holyfield is memorable as well. But I can't think of any outsiders who have ever had that kind of influence on an event.
You know, Mills Lane was my broadcast partner until he had a stroke in about 2002, 2003, something like that. He and myself and Al Bernstein were the Let's Get It On boxing crew. And I asked him one night in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I asked him, I said, why did you, you know, I mean, wasn't biting them the first time enough to disqualify him? And he said, Mark Ratner changed my mind. I said, what do you mean? Mark Ratner said to me, you put it in a question form. He said, Mills, you really don't want to disqualify Mike Tyson right now, do you? And I guess he thought that a disqualification at that point would have caused a riot. But I don't know, Larry, you think you should disqualify him straight up the first time?
Sometimes seeing is disbelieving. And it takes a second time to make you believe.
Okay. You know, a young man fought last night, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but a young man fought last night. Jackson Moran is on ESPN. He was from the Dominican Republic. He had come in undefeated like about 8 months ago, and he fought on Raleigh Romero, who was Floyd Mayweather's fighter, and I thought he won like 10 rounds to 2. I mean, it was like a rout, 9-3, I think, on my scorecard. And all three judges gave it to Mayweather's guy. I mean, the score is like 118, 110. I mean, long, long scores. So that robbery, because he got robbed, he went home to the Dominican Republic with like probably $10,000. Probably got that for the TV purse. Okay. So he goes home to the Dominican Republic, doesn't have his title belt, which he should have had, which probably would have made him a bit of an icon in the Dominican Republic. So he goes home, and then they say, you know what? We're going to get you another fight. We're not going to give you a title rematch with the champion. We're going to get you a fight with the roughest, hardest puncher in the entire division, Richard Comey, and we're going to give you $25,000. So in other words, those judges ripping him off 8 months ago, I think ruined his life because he got knocked out last night in a fight he couldn't win.
Huh. Well, I guess Mayweather's fighter was the house fighter.
No doubt about that. I mean, Glenn Feldman had a 116-112. Frank Lombardi should be arrested for impersonating a boxing judge. He had a 118-110. And I think the other judge, Don Trela, had it 115-113 or 7 to 5 in rounds. It wasn't even close. What I'm trying to say is it was one of the biggest atrocities of boxing in 2020. Nobody really talked about it much because of the fact Mayweather was involved. I mean, anytime Mayweather's involved, I guess you know, it's like people handle stuff with kid gloves, commissions, everybody.
I'm not sure. I haven't followed him or his fighters, so I can't respond from eye contact with these things.
The paparazzi followed you around after the Mayweather encounter. Did you get any threats?
I didn't get any threats, but because my grandson told me that I was outdoing Justin Bieber on the internet. I glanced at it, and more than one onlooker called me a racist.
Okay. You know, Justin Bieber, he came to Pier 39 in 2008. I was part of management there, and he did a concert an unannounced concert on the pier. So the shopkeeper calls me on the phone and says, security? I said, yeah. She goes, you need to get down here right now. There's all these girls out here. What are you talking about, all these girls? So I went up to the plaza, and there was like 400 girls there, and Mr. Bieber had himself a little microphone and was doing his thing. So I went up to him, and I said, hey, man, you can't do this here. And some girl says to me, hey, you, this is Justin. I said, I'm Pedro, and he's leaving. Anyway, bottom line is he left and went to went further down the Embarcadero
to
another pier.
What couldn't he do that he was doing?
Well, he was blocking all the doors to the shops with all these girls. In other words, they weren't spending any money. This is a shopping center. You hear what I'm saying? This was a shopping center. Pier 39 is a tourist shopping center. Anyway, revenue. Capitalism was being blocked.
Cardinal sin.
It's a cardinal sin, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, I got to meet the guy, and I thought he was, you know, nice guy. And then, of course, he's had his issues. He wanted to become a boxer, all kinds of different issues. You know, Larry, these celebrities wanting to become boxers like this, I think Mayweather's going to box some clown from YouTube and this and that. People get hurt in boxing. How come celebrities don't?
Because we all know what's going on and what's up. And if people want to spend money to watch nothing happen, then good luck to them.
Okay. Speaking of spending money and having nothing happen, exhibitions. People want, is the boxing, is the caliber of boxing being presented on television now such that so inferior that we have to watch exhibitions of old guys to get off?
Well, I guess that's what some promoters believe, but I do think that some young guys are starting to ripple up and show that they'll be ready for the game when the pandemic lifts.
Speaking of pandemic lift, you got your second shot?
Yep.
Okay. Any side effects? You feel any different from
no
taking
it? No side effects. I took a, what do you call them? I took a couple of pills beforehand just to settle everything down, and I didn't suffer any consequences afterwards.
Are you trying to tell me you took a chill pill like a Valium beforehand?
I took Tylenol. Nothing. That's the strongest pill I've ever taken.
I'm not a pill guy. I mean, I'm just not a pill
guy.
Well,
I just. My experience is that nothing bad can happen to you if you take Tylenol, and something good might. And in this case, whatever might have happened that went wrong went right. So I'm cool. I'm as proud of having my second shot as I am about turning 90.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations on both. Next week, February 20th, I know you're not a big fan of today's fights, but Mikael Berchtold is a once-beaten 130-pounder. He's a monster. He's just a monster at 130 pounds. He's defending the WBC 130-pound title against the 2012 Olympic gold medalist, the former WBO 126-pound champion. These guys will fight at 130. Oscar Valdez, 28-0, 22 KOs. I would recommend that, Godfather. I would recommend you put that on your schedule.
I will take your recommendation.
And, of course, Adrian Broner is coming back on February 20th. I thought we were done with him. He's only 31, but I thought we were done with him.
Well, I guess there's a vacuum, and somebody's got to try to fill it or use the opportunity to fill it. Broner played his cards out, and I'm as surprised as you are that he's coming back, but given his age and given how thin the ranks are these days, I suppose he can make a few bucks.
You know, Larry, I was looking at Haseem Rahman. After he won the heavyweight title, of course, that upset of Lennox Lewis in Africa, he called me on the phone. He was live on the phone. I want to thank the late Stan Hoffman, who passed away last week. Huff and Stan Hoffman put that together. But Haseem Rahman, a few years later, they found two dead bodies in the trunk of his car in Baltimore, okay? And I'm wondering if these two dead bodies, were equivalent to the guys that his sons are fighting, because night before last, his son stepped in the ring with two guys. He has two sons, Haseem Rahman Jr., who had a horrible amateur record, and his son Sharif, who didn't have a very good amateur record. Neither had winning amateur records. Anyway, both these guys are pros now, and they're fighting guys that are 2-10. Well, the guys that are 2-10, of course, have never beaten anybody that have won a fight and this kind of stuff, but Haseem Rahman, I think he was better off if he'd have dug those two guys out of his trunk to fight these kids.
Well, what's in a name?
Well, you got the name. Listen, you mentioned Larry Merchant, anybody? And I mentioned you this week to a lot of people because it was your birthday, and people knew that and passing this. And they know who the Godfather is.
Well, I suppose if I had some sons who were looking to make a few bucks or have some fun, maybe the fact that they were Larry Merchant Jr. and Harry Merchant would help them get through.
Okay. Manny Pacquiao says he'll take $40 million to fight Terrence Crawford. You think they'll put that together?
I don't know if that's an opening bid. It would be a big fight. I don't know that he would turn down $25 million as a guarantee. But it would be a fight worth watching.
Well, that being said, you go have a good Valentine's Day with the Godmama. Give her a big kiss for me and give her my best.
Thank you, Pedro.
The one, the only, my heir apparent to greatness. He is the one, the only. Talk about the Godfather, Larry Merchant, folks, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Okay, let's go.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We don't back down from nobody.
Hold on.
We can take it in the street if you want to.
Yes, we can. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing and MMA. Let's go over some of the boxing results. Of course, Richard Comey, a knockout winner last night. It was one of those punches like you can hear it on TV. And when you can hear punches like that, you know they land hard. Straight up, 8-ounce glove. I'm talking about the IBF, of course. I mean, the 135-pound fighters wearing 8-ounce gloves all the way up to 147 where they switch and go to 10-ounce gloves. 8-ounce gloves were at play last night. Former IBF lightweight champion. Of course, the man that got knocked out by Teofimo Lopez in his prior fight, Richard Comey, coming to us from Ghana, Africa. Now 30-3, 27 wax. An explosive 6-round knockout winner over Jacek. Jackson Morenez, of course, now 19-2, 7 KOs. I told you, they ruined the three judges. I'll mention their names again because they're such creepy people. I'm talking about Glenn Feldman, 8-4 in rounds, Frank Lombardi, 10-2 in rounds, and Don Triola, 7-5 in rounds. They gave the fight to Raleigh Romero instead of giving it to Mr. Morenez. Of course, that was last August. That robbery cost him the WBA title. He wasn't able to take his title belt home, and he wasn't able to make the kind of money he should be able to capitalizing on the championship. In other words, He was robbed, and then they ruined his life. And then last night they put him in with a killer. In other words, we're going to put you. We know you got screwed the last time, you know, and you're coming back to Las Vegas. We're going to put you in with a killer, Charles Manson. Basically, we're going to put you in with Charles Manson. You have no chance, little or no chance, or maybe slim and none. And Slim's left town to steal a line from Don King, but you have no chance in this fight. And what happens? You were destroyed in the seventh. I mean, it was destruction. Time was 2:35, round six. I felt bad because I could see early on what was going on here. I mean, Comey was obviously the stronger fighter. Obviously, he had that big right hand. I mean, this guy cracks. I mean, say what you want. He's sort of limited. I mean, as far as his overall boxing abilities, he's a little herky-jerky type of guy. I'm talking about Richard Comey. But, man, once he starts firing that right hand and he gets it going, he's sort of wild with it at times. But when it lands, it's over. I mean, it is over. Now, Comey 30-3. But Marinez goes home back to the Dominican Republic, a broken man. He's been knocked out. He's been robbed both times in Las Vegas. Of course, as I explained this to you before, it's sort of like sitting down at a blackjack table. You get a king and an ace. It's 21, right? You say to yourself, yeah, that money looks good. And then they say, no, you don't win. What do you mean I don't win? No, the guy over there, the guy with 17, he wins. Wait, this is blackjack. I've got blackjack. I've got 21. No, this is boxing. The guy with the 17, he's winning tonight. That's just the way it is. Ooh, that was very heartbreaking. And I really feel for the young man. Go back to Dominican Republic, a broken man, broken both financially and mentally. I mean, he just is. 21-year-old heavyweight knockout artist Jared Anderson, now 8-0, 8 knockouts, looks pretty good. Of course, he's the guy that they think greatness is going to come from. He may be the next American heavyweight. We'll see how that goes. Because, you know, they always talk about great American heavyweights and They really don't. Anyway, the bottom line is they really don't materialize. They just don't make them over here anymore. Why? Because we don't have hunger. I mean, we have hunger. I mean, but not hunger like people hungry enough to want to box. I mean, you've got to be pretty hungry to want to go out there and box somebody. In other words, you've got to get yourself in shape. You've got to put yourself in a mindset where, you know, it's kill or be killed. I hate to say it like that. But, you know, I remember my mother one time, I knocked this dude out one time, and they took him, Herbert Myers, they took him to the hospital in the ambulance. He left the arena asleep, okay? He woke up in the ambulance. And I remember my mother, we were just coming off the Duke Hoo Kim. Ray Mancini just killed Duke Hoo Kim about a month earlier. And the Oakland Tribune newspaper guy was coming after me. He said, you know, this guy might die. And my mother jumps in. Hey, come on. This is better him than Pete. Better him than Pete. You put that in your paper. He didn't put that in his paper, but that's just the way it went down. It was a rough night, no doubt about that. But, you know, you can see it. You can see it and you can feel it when the Grim Reaper is in the house. And there's certain things that you just know in boxing that it's like going against a train. I mean, like trying to push it like a human being trying to push a train off a track. Sometimes when boxing is moving, you can't stop it. WBA Super Bantamweight Champion. I'll talk about Ronnie Rios. He's the gold champion, whatever that means. Anyway, now 33-3, 16 wax, a one-sided 10-round winner over Oscar El Jaguar Negrete, 19-3. Of course, that was Saturday night at Fantasy Springs. Fantasy Springs was rocking and rolling last night, of course. And the co-main event. Let me get to the co-main. Take that back. Let's go across the pond. Go across the pond first. It was a huge upset. But I always thought, you know, English guys that can't punch, they're just like guys getting ready to be taken. Josh Warrington, case in point, came in undefeated in 30 fights, but only had 7 knockouts. That means he couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag if it was wet. Okay? And on Saturday night, the SSA Arena, of course, near London, Warrington, who relinquished the IBF title after, I believe he said he was going to move up to 126, 130 pounds. Anyway, he gave up his belt. He came back in this non-title affair and just got destroyed by Mauricio Bronco Lara. He was a 25-1 underdog. In other words, they brought what they thought was a stiff in from South America. Not so much, baby. Not so much. Reminds me of Sonny Morrison here locally when he had Butch Gomez. He brought Butch Gomez, some guy that came from the Eminem box. He came from Jimmy Montoya's boxing club down there in Los Angeles. Jimmy Montoya had nothing but bums, but Jimmy Montoya snuck this one guy in, and this guy beat the snot out of Butch Gomez. Of course, that was the end of Butch's career. I take that back. I retired Butch in an exhibition we did in 1984 down there at the Clarion Hotel in San Mateo, California. Remember, his brother came to me. His brother was my trainer. Chris Gomez was Butch Gomez's brother, and he came to me before the exhibition. I was going to do 4 rounds with Butch. And 6 rounds, well, I was in good shape back then, and 6 rounds with Carlos De Leon, the World Cruiserweight Champion. I was feeling good. And I did the rounds that night. It was a makeshift ring, but we did the rounds. And I remember, you know, telling Chris, you know, I feel sort of funny in exhibitions. This is your brother. And he goes, go out and make sure he never boxes again. So I went out there. I made sure he never boxed again. This is the way it is. But bottom line is, you know, Butch didn't box anymore. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Before I go to the Rockman brothers, I want to mention that Mitchell Rose passed away at the age of 51. Of course, he was a career journeyman with a record of 2-11 with 2 knockouts. But one of those knockouts, he knocked out the undefeated Butterbean. That's right, Eric Butterbean Ash. Remember, that was like, wow, people were like stoked about that. Of course, that was it at MSG. Then he got into the fight with Mike Tyson inside a Brooklyn nightclub. Of course, he later wrote a book. Tilted Mike Tyson tried to kill my daddy. Bottom line is Mitchell Rose was a piece of work, but I don't know why he died, but, you know, may he rest in peace. Back to the Rockman brothers. Of course, I seen Rockman Sr., gold-blooded, they called him. He couldn't lick a stamp if he wet his tongue. Now, 10-0 with 5 knockouts, a second-round knockout win over Mexico's Alejandro De La Torre. He came in at 2-9, he left at 2-10. Any surprise there? No, not so ever. None whatsoever. Younger brother Sharif, C3 Rockman, now 4-0 with 3 KOs, scored a third round KO over Haitian opponent. Notice they put this Haitian opponent, Gladimir Jacinto. Of course, that was at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. It was on Saturday night. Bottom line is both brothers are signed to New York-based promoter Greg Cohen. Hey, Greg, I'm all with you, buddy. We went to China together, but Greg, you got to be telling me, you can't be putting these kids in with like stone cold stiffs like that, man. That just don't make it. I mean, these guys were bums. Bums. No doubt about it. You can't be fighting bums all the way. And you know what? You can pad your record and, you know, get to 11-0, 12-0, 13-0, 14-0. Eventually, you're going to have to fight somebody. And when you have to fight somebody and you haven't fought anybody yet and you really don't know how to fight per se, because both Rockman brothers have losing records as amateurs, so they can't fight all that well, all right, they're going to get hurt. Speaking of getting hurt, I'll get into that in hour number 2. Getting hurt, squares in boxing. What about a square in boxing? What am I talking about by a square in boxing? I'm talking about these stockbrokers, these guys that come into the gym and, you know, they buy a pair of boxing gloves and a headgear and somebody gives them a mouthpiece and says, guess what, man? I can make you a fighter. And they think they can box and they get hurt. I'll get to that in depth, hour number 2 of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. After the break, we switch gears, talk combat sports, MMA, the UFC 258 last night, coming to us Las Vegas. We'll hear from the winner and more. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. You gotta keep going, TuneIn.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes.com, Anchor FM. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Mama said it's not bragging when you're telling the truth. Straight up, I never lost a street fight. There's nobody in the city, nobody in Northern California, nobody ever say they engaged me in a one-on-one street fight and beat me. They could say they jumped on me, they could say they hit me with sucker punches, all that kind of good stuff, but they never, ever, ever, nobody on the planet can say they ever beat me in a street fight. That being said, Kamaru Usman can almost say the same thing. I'm talking about the UFC welterweight champion, man. He is one bad dude, no doubt about that. He's lost only once in like 19 fights. Last night he took on Gilbert Burns, a former, they were in the same gym together, I think, down there in Florida. They're sharing the same gym from the same stable. They started out together. Of course, Usman, the world welterweight champion, I'm talking about 170 pounds. He is the real deal. As I said, once beaten in 18 fights, I think that was like the first or second fight of his career. He's come back and he's been on a roll. He's now like one of the longest, the greatest welterweight, I think. I think he eclipses maybe Georges St. Pierre. I mean, Georges St. Pierre, of course, the Canadian icon, the guy that considered the greatest UFC fighter maybe of all time prior to this current generation. Of course, he did beat Michael Bisping for the middleweight title a couple of years ago, but he's decided he's not going to come back. So Usman, that would be one hell of a challenge for Georges St. Pierre. But Usman last night knocking out Gilbert Burns in the third round with punches, folks. It was a, I'm going to say, you just saw one of the best boxers in all of the UFC. I mean, the jab from both sides was all about jabbing.
Feels amazing. I mean, this one was a tough one. It was a very, very tough one because, you know, the whole gym situation, you know, me leaving. And, you know, first and foremost, guys, you cannot discredit what Gilbert Byrne has done in this division. You know, after being knocked out at lightweight, regrouped, put it all together, moved up a weight class and started tearing through these guys. You know, we started together. You know, we started this journey together and he showed it tonight. You know, he went in there, he put it all together. He's knocked off one guy after another to get to this point. But I said it, man, you know, I'm the varsity guy. You know, my fight IQ is different. You know, it's something different. It's different when you're in the gym with me. But when you get in here, it's different ball game. I'm a whole nother savage. From start to finish, I'm a whole nother savage. And he saw that tonight.
Undeniably. Now, let's talk about the fight. Was there anything in the fight that surprised you? He came out of the gate very fast, clipped you with a couple of right hands. What were you thinking during those moments?
No, I knew he hits hard. The funny thing is, that's a majority of how our sparring went, our sparring together. You know, if I threw one, he would counter heavy with shots. And he will buzz you. You know, for a guy that was a lightweight and moved up, he's got so much power in those hands. And, anybody else in his division goes to sleep to one of those. He caught me in the first round with one of those big hooks, kind of behind the ear. And I felt it. I was like, oh, okay. Get on your ones and twos and let's go to work now. And the rest was history.
You started to establish the jab, and Trevor Whitman talked about that in between rounds. He said to you, you are a champion because of your jab. He wanted to get it in your head that your jab was a huge weapon in this fight, and it proved to be a weapon not just from Orthodox, but also from Southpaw.
Yeah, that was the thing with me is, even when I first kind of started and I was striking, you know, at my old gym, you know, it's a lot of that Dutch kickboxing and, you know, which is, it gets you tough. And it gets you tough and it lets you see a lot of shots and lets you defend shots. But I always just get on the bag myself and I wanted to work, you know, work that southpaw. I wanted to work the jab and I knew I had a good jab from the southpaw. And so I loved the switch. That's why you see me in my fights. I switch both stands. I'm mainly a conventional fighter, but I like to switch stands. So, you know, I just worked it a lot. And that's one thing that we worked this whole camp. Trevor said, you know what? You need to stay on the jab. You have a freaking good jab and you need to stay on the jab. And, you know, I just listened. I went in there, listened to my coaches. This one was hard for me because it's hard to come in without all the emotions. I mean, Gilbert is a guy that I've known from the start. And, you know, I love him. And this one was tough for me to deal with.
You still met him at the center of the octagon before the fight started. You got right in his face. Why did you do that? Because that is a little out of character for you.
This is my cage. I'm the undisputed welterweight champion for a reason. This is my cage. I don't care who you are. When you step in here, there's no friends. You know, he said it himself. He put himself there. He said himself, I have something he wants, and he's coming to take it. So when you step into my cage, we have to go to work. And so from start to finish, there was no friends in there. There was no friends at all. I had to go in and I had to do what I needed to do, and that's go in there and win this title. And like I said, I am the best on the planet for a reason. Now, everybody else, y'all need to put some respect on my name. I am the welterweight champ for a reason. I'm here to stay.
I understand that you're getting hyped up, but I don't think there's anybody not putting any respect in your name. You are without a doubt one of the greatest fighters in the history of the sport, one of the greatest welterweight, if not the greatest welterweights of all time, and it was an honor calling your fight tonight. Congratulations, sir. Enjoy it. Take it in, and I cannot wait to see you defend your title again.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Before I go, you know, we got this little street thug calling himself Jesus. He thinking he's Jesus, and, you know, Joe, we tried to make that fight several times. They tried to make that fight, but he kept backing out. The only reason this man took the fight is because it was on 6 days' notice, and he had a built-in excuse. And he's still running his mouth, talking about, he broke my nose and stepping in on 6 days. Give you 3 weeks, he's going to do something. Guess what? It's not done. I'll give you a whole training camp. I guarantee you, you won't sign on that dotted line, because this time, I'm going to finish your ass.
That's the fight you want next, or another fight with Jorge Masvidal.
Any one of these fools can get it. Any one of them. But he keeps running his mouth. If he's going to talk, step in here and you got to see me. Step in here and see me.
I love it. Thank you, sir. Thank you very
much. Appreciate that, Joe.
Congratulations.
My man, Joe.
One of the greatest ever.
Reminds me so much of me, because he's street boxing. That's what he's doing. He's in the octagon. He's street boxing. I mean, he's wearing 4 ounce gloves. Basically, you're not wearing gloves. I mean, you know, I'm not. So he's street boxing. That's just what he's doing. He did a good job of it last night. Went left-handed, went right-handed. Myself, I could do both ways. So I was really impressed with Mr. Usman now. Of course, 18-1. Man, he looks like he's head and shoulder over anybody at 170 pounds in the entire world. His challenge might be at 185 pounds. That means moving up 15 pounds, which can be detrimental to one's health. In the co-feature, Alexa Grasso beat Marcy Barber. That was a women's bout at 125 pounds. But the Kelvin Gastelum was a winner. He hadn't won in like three fights. So props to Kelvin coming back at middleweight. Of course, 185 pounds. He was a winner across the board over Ian Heinch. Outside of that, big names on the card. Anthony Hernandez beat Rodolfo Vieira. That was a big win for Hernandez. Submission, guillotine choke in round number two, 153 in. But the performance of the night, and the fight that sort of made me, I said, yeah, this was pretty cool. Pollyanna Viana, some little tiny looking real, you know, Brazilian girl, not a scar on her face. She looks real pretty, this and that, right? She's a monster. She's just a monster. Mallory Martin was favored over her. Mallory Martin came from Denver, Colorado. So Mallory comes in, she's a slight favorite over Pollyanna from Brazil. And, you know, once you get these girls on the ground, and once these Brazilian girls get you on the ground, it's all over. It's just, I can tell you it's all over. I was a pretty good ground fighter. I mean, Denver lost a street fight. But I was a pretty good ground fighter. But when I went down to the Gracie Gym, which on 30th and Mission, like about 20 years ago in the 90s, I went down there. And like the first couple of days, I spent 3 days there. First couple of days, you know, workouts, they were nice with me. I did a lot of stand-up, this and that, boom, boom, boom. And then the third day, they got me on the ground. And every time they got me on the ground, they tied me up like a crab, and they just beat the snot out of me. I mean, or they could have. They could have almost basically killed me. What they do is they render you offenseless on the ground. They're on their back, and you're looking down at them. You say, this guy's on his back. I should be able to beat him. Well, guess what? Not in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Last night, Pollyanna Viana just destroyed Mallory Martin with an armbar in the second round. She had a choke going for a while. She just said, I would never put my girl in with a Brazilian girl. I wouldn't put my woman in MMA, but I'm just telling you, you don't put them in with a Brazilian jiu-jitsu expert, because once they get you on, I mean, it's a natural thing. You want to get on the ground on top of somebody. I mean, this is it. The being on top is supposed to be, you're in control, right? Not with a BJJ person. I'm telling you, man, the guy was on his back, and I'm trying to punch at him from a standing position. I couldn't do that. I tried to reach over. He ended up kicking me in the head. I mean, this wasn't pretty. So I learned after 3 days that, you know, this MMA thing was for real, and that was like 1993. Anyway, also on the card last night, I want to mention the fact that Betel Muhammad was originally from Iran, but he's from American. But Betel Muhammad was outstanding last night, a unanimous winner over Diego Lima. Lima came in with a great credentials and a good record, but guess what? The scores were 30-27 across the board after three rounds. Outside of that, not a whole lot in the world of UFC last night. I mean, it wasn't something where I was going, oh man, I gotta see that again. Next week, maybe. Heavyweights going at him. Talk about New York, Derek Lewis, of course, I think he has a win over Francis Ngannou, I believe. And he takes on Curtis Blaydes. These two guys are going to be weighing about 250 pounds each. So anything goes. Of course, heavyweights, five rounds, the main event coming to it from Las Vegas. A co-feature features, a women's bout at 135 pounds. Kaylin Vieira taking on Yana Kunishaya. And of course, the, rest of the card, Andre Arlovski's on the card, former UFC heavyweight champion. I think he was a heavyweight champion once or twice. He's taking on Tom Aspinetti. The card will be on ESPN Plus. If you haven't got ESPN Plus yet, you're losing it. I'm just telling you, because ESPN Plus, last night, I was able to watch both boxing and the UFC on ESPN Plus. Now, my subscription is $5.99 a month, okay? I mean, that's like a cup of coffee in nowadays world, and it's in California anyway. Bottom line is Curtis Blaydes and Derek Lewis will be the main event. I don't see a whole lot on that card, but that main event, that's probably one that's not going to end in a five-round decision. That figures that one's going to go the a knockout early. Now, of course, the aforementioned Francis Ngannou, my guy, of course, the uncrowned UFC heavyweight champion, comes to us from Africa. Wow, what a monster he is. Of course, he's lost three fights. Derek Lewis was one of them. You know, I mean, he wasn't focused. When he fought for the heavyweight championship, he wasn't focused. He just wasn't. He fought Stipe Miocic, and he thought he would just knock Stipe out. And, of course, in the first round, he almost did knock Stipe out. But Stipe got his act together, and, of course, he got that big guy tired. And once you get people tired, you know what? I've been in the ring with guys that are tired. You can just look in their eyes, and they're just like, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. I've been there. In fact, you know, it was funny, being tired. How did my mother get involved in my boxing career? Well, I lost Eddie Smith, and she told me, and she said to me, I'm not going to let you embarrass yourself. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, you know, you weren't in good shape. I said, what are you talking about, Mom? She goes, no. She goes, you're going to run with me now, like a month before these fights. If you want to fight again, you're going to have to run with me. So anyway, she put it together, and she had these running programs going on. I mean, she got me to the top of Westboro Boulevard, and you guys can Google that if you want, in South San Francisco. It's a straight-up thing. I ran from, I think, Arroyo and Juniper Serra Boulevard, all the way to the top of the hill in 11 minutes. I mean, that's with her honking the horn and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. That's what a running coach is for. Somebody said to me the other day, do you really need a coach? Do you really need a trainer? I run still. I could use her belittling me to an extent with the horn, that kind of stuff, screaming out the window. Ah! You know, I could deal with that because that just got me better. I mean, people say to me, why do you run on a clock? The reason why I run on a clock is it keeps my competitive edge up. I know where I'm at, okay? And people say, hey, you really don't need me. You're egotistical running on a clock. No. You got to know where you're at. You got to put a record. Anyway, bottom line is Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou are going to hook it up for the world heavyweight champion as far as the UFC is concerned, and I think Ngannou is going to beat him down. March 27th, UFC Apex Center, Las Vegas, Nevada. It looks like they're not going to go back to Dubai. It looks like at least for 6 months. Of course, Miocic, former Golden Glove champion, Cleveland Golden Gloves champion, Ohio State Golden Gloves champion, Francis Ngannou, a former professional boxer. I believe he lost one match. You know, this figures to be an outstanding contest. The co-features can maybe even be better. Alexander Volkanovski, the world featherweight champion, taking on my guy, Brian Ortega, the model. Remember Brian? Brian was the prettiest guy in all of MMA. He was so pretty. He sounded good. He talked good. And then they put him in that fight with Max Holloway. And then after two rounds, had his ass kicked. I mean, he was busted up and bleeding all over the place. And they let it go another two rounds. In other words, he took 10 more minutes of beating than he should have taken. And he was just getting beat on. I mean, he wasn't offering nothing in response. He was just getting beat on. So the once beating Brian Ortega out of LA, taking on Alexander Volkanovski, who beat Max Holloway in a bit of a controversial fight, that second one anyway. Bottom line is, Volkanovski and Brian Ortega are going to hook it up underneath Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou, vying for the world heavyweight title, UFC style, March 27th on pay-per-view. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He certainly knows how to shake things up.
Mary left the house. Mary? Mary Wilson, of course, one of the original Supremes, coming to us from the Brewster Projects in Detroit, Michigan. Of course, they got together in the late 1950s, went to Motown. Motown said, we're going to sign you, but you have to get out of high school first. So they went back, and they all got their high school diplomas. Talk about Florence Ballard, Mary Wilson, of course, Diana Ross, then Diane Ross. Anyway, they got their diplomas. They were first the Primettes, and the Primettes before they became the Supremes. Who came up with the name of the Supremes? The late Florence Ballard. Of course, Mary Wilson had contempt for Diana Ross, and she had empathy for Florence Ballard. What can I say? May she rest in peace. She was a great fight fan. She knew me by first name, and I thought that was pretty cool. When the Supremes knows you by first name based on your television work, I think you're doing okay. Straight up, may she rest in peace. She died this week on Sunday at 76 years old from heart disease in Henderson, Nevada, right outside of Las Vegas. So may Mary rest in peace. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide forthcoming on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, sportsbyline.com. I keep going like 1,000 different platforms. But, you know, if you're listening to the show, you know where it's at. 24/7, you can check us out on iHeartRadio, of course, or Anchor.fm, all the podcasts. Of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Anchor.fm. Hour number two, we'll talk about getting robbed to an extent, but I'm gonna expand on squares and boxing. Do I think squares should box? I mean, do I think businessmen like Scott Cuddy should get hit in the head? I'm gonna talk about that in depth, hour number two. And of course, boxing deaths. I'm gonna get into that as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It'll be a positive hour. It doesn't sound positive, but it will be a positive hour and hour number two, as well as a visit from Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier as they go across the pond to England. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned. Hour number two forthcoming on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and about 1,000 other internet platforms. Don't be square. Ring Talk's back after the news. Hey.